Today we're going to discuss the fourth question of debate between the Goyshe Chachomim and Reb Yeshua. They asked him the following question. When salt is spoiling, with what does one salt it? In other words, how do you preserve salt that spoils? So Reb Yeshua told them, you take a placenta of a mule. But they asked him, is there a placenta of a mule? Mules don't give birth. And he responded, does salt spoil? And with that, they said, yeah, Taka, you're right. And they were defeated again by the logic and chokhmah and response of Rabbi Yeshua. And once again, we're left scratching our heads. What was the question? And what was the answer? So we're going to share two drachim, two approaches today. One of the Marsha and one of the Meishiloyach. They're both very similar. And they're both miyusid on the same nekuda. They just go a little bit different directions. But there's one nekuda over here, which is the yesoi, the foundation of both pirushim. By understanding this nekuda, you'll have a general understanding of this whole discussion of salt. And that is, what does salt represent? In general, salt is something that preserves. Meat that you salt can stay fresh. Salt was the refrigerator of old. Salt preserves. Salt is a symbol of an everlasting treaty between two entities. The same way salt keeps something for the future, the idea of a treaty, the idea of a bris, is that two people should continue to get along for the future. And that's why the treaties many times are called a bris melach, a treaty of salt. Why is it called a treaty of salt? Because it's something that's supposed to last. So the yesoid of the dialogue over here, of the debate, has something to do with the bris, with the treaty of the Eibishter with the Yidden. So what was the discussion? Let's see the second line in the Marsha. We believe that the Eibishter continues to love us, and our treaty with the Eibishter was never annulled and never void. And we still have a bris with the Eibishter. Aval akoyfrim oimrim she'einoy la'olam. Ukvar bitel abris imanu. The fact that we're in Golos means that the Eibishter has abandoned. He broke the treaty. He's left us. Ve'oysam lokach la'am tachteinu. They say that there's a new treaty. That the first treaty was with the Yidden. But now the treaty got sour, the treaty got spoiled, the treaty no longer is strong, is no longer in effect. And only the Goyim now have a treaty with the Eibishter. And that's their question, how are you going to respond to us? How are you going to keep the salt fresh? How are you in Golos able to look us in the eye and say that the Eibishter still has a bris, that the Eibishter still has a treaty with Klal Yisrael? That is the real question of how do you keep salt preserved. That's the oimek of the shaila. And according to the Marsha, the response was like this. He told them about the placenta of a mule. And he told them like this. Sha'oiv dekechavim nidmu, that the goyim are compared to the mule. Because they think that the Eibishter is going to make a bris with them. You don't have a placenta to make it to salt. There's nothing, you have no schus that the Eibishter will make a treaty with you. However, Yidden, we have the original salt. We have the schus, we have the schusim of our ovis. We have the original reason why the Eibishter should continue to make the treaty with us. When they told him a mule has no placenta, meaning that what schus do the Goyim have And he responded, that's the point, that the Yidin, the salt, doesn't spoil. Because we have a schus that the Eibishter can always fall back on. Mashenkin, the Goyim, do not have such a schus. The Me'esh Iloyach gives a similar explanation. Let's see the way he learns the question. He learns the question directly connected to awaiting Moshiach. And he says, Kishalu lekanter liYisrael. They held that the Yidin, the treaty with the Yidin is over, is not in effect. And their question was not so much that we got it, but how do you keep the salt fresh? What are you going to do that's going to bring, you always want Moshiach, Ki atem mitzapim li Yeshua, you guys are always looking forward, and you're telling us that Moshiach is coming. For Moshiach to come, the Eibishter has to show Ahava to you, the Eibishter has to, it's a sign of love that the Eibishter is giving you. What? How are you going to get him to love you again? You messed up this relationship. What are you going to do to make the salt fresh? What are you going to do to bring the Ahava of the Eibishter to you, which B'derech Memela will bring Moshiach? Because when the Eibishter is expressing his Ahava to the Yidin, that the ultimate expression of the Eibishter's Ahava to Knesset Yisrael is Bias HaMoshiach. And that's his Shaila. Again, look inside. Ubemet to'iru as Avas Hashem Yisborech Lachem, ki atem mitzapim li Yeshua. You want Moshiach, but the Eibishter has to love you first. How are you going to get that love back? And this is what he answered them. And in order to understand his answer, he gives a very deep and beautiful hesder. We know that the Pasuk tells us, Echad hoya Avram, that Avram was an Echad. Now, it's always understood to mean that he was special. He was Meyuchad, right? Echad hoya Avram, that Avram Avinu was the one and only. But Chazal explained to us, that Echad Hoya Avram means that when Avram was born, he wasn't meant to have children. He was only supposed to be Echad. He wasn't supposed to have children. And the Eibishter gave him a special ness, and that he was able to go from Avram to Avraham. Shtelt sich de Shaila. Why would the Eibishter want this whole story? Why shouldn't Avram naturally have children? You ever look and think about it, that the Avos, the Imois, struggled with children. Why is that normal? I mean, why do they have to go through that? Sarah, Rivka, Rachel. I mean, one by one, they had all these stories with having children. Why is it like that? Why is it so hard to give birth? Why the Goyim are giving birth and the rest of the Shvat, everything else is going. Why Dafke, the Imois and the Ovis are struggling with having children? So he explains that it's a sign that the Eibishter wants the people, the world, to know that Yidden are not connected with Teva. If the Avos and the Imois would give birth in a natural way, that just they got married, and like the storybooks go, and a year or two later, they have a child, so then it's a sign that Yidden and Teva are together. The fact that each time it's a struggle, Al Pi Teva, and the Eibishter makes a nes, that itself instills in Bnei Yisrael the DNA that we are not al pi teva. People wonder, how is it that all the nations of the world are able to rise and fall? And Yidden, we're chai v'kayam. Yidden went through everything, all the persecution, and we're still here. Not only still here, we're growing and stronger as ever. Because we are not under the rules of teva. And this, by definition, is what the Eibishter made, that the Yaveh struggle with children. So that Yidden understand that they're not under the rules of Teva. So therefore, we are explaining to the Goyim that the Eibishter's relationship with the Yid is not your regular bris that can go sour. What makes a treaty go sour? If the treaty is based on certain deal, I make a deal, I'm going to do this for you, and you're going to do this for me, and if you mess up, so the treaty is off, the deal is off. The Eibishter's Bechira with Avram Avinu and the Yidden have nothing to do with what we do. The Eibishter chose Avram before he did anything good. The Bechira in Bnei Yisrael is a much deeper. In the words of Chassidus, it's a Bechira Atzmis. It's the Etzem HaNeshama. It has nothing to do with our actions. And this is his response, that go back to the mule. Avram Avinu is the Akar. He's the one that couldn't have children. And the Bechira in Avram Avinu has nothing to do with the Maise of Avram. But Derech Memele, you can't say that because we're in Golos and Loyaleinu, we did Avedis, that the Eibishter broke his treaty with us, because it was never about our actions. And it was never about our Maisin that brought the Ava of the Eibishter to us. And Adirab, look what he says. Ki ata nischazik kvar b'chol maisim tovim shol Yisrael, v'ata anu mispalli me'lov, v'kol shken shelo yazev v'sonu. If anything now, for sure the Eibishter should send Mashiach, because we're actually following his words. If the Eibishter loves us when we don't listen to him, how much more so he loves us when we do listen to him. So therefore the salt can never go sour. The treaty that the Eibishter has with Yidin is not about our deeds, and therefore can never ever be annulled. And the Eibishter always loves us, and we, Mir Tashem, will be sending the Yeshua, take it from me.